I had this moment when I was at Sunnybrook Suzuki and Lawn and Garden as a mechanic in Illinois. It was a motorcycle shop and small engine shop, and I had done an engine overhaul on this fellow's Cub Cadet riding mower, and it was great. I started it up. Sounded beautiful when it was all done. Gave it back to the customer. He came back in about a week and had a terrible rod knock. And the moment I heard what was going on, I knew what I had done wrong. I had not torqued down the connecting rod bolts. I don't remember if it's because I didn't have a torque wrench handy or I got distracted for whatever reason. I'd assembled it and I didn't torque down the connecting rod bolts. And it came apart. It was knocking terribly as the two halves separated and allowed clearance. And I told my boss, Vernie, his name was Vernon. We call him Vernie. I said, Vernie, I know that was totally my fault. I never went back there and torqued those down. It's totally my fault. He said, don't worry about it. I got you covered. And he took care of things with the customer. But you know what we all want to do in life? We want to have a certain outcome. Like, you know, in this case, a successful job, a satisfied customer. We all want that outcome, but we sometimes want to take shortcuts. And you can't do that. So today we're going to talk about connecting some dots on what we've been talking about in the last 6 weeks. We've talked about the four New Testament therapies. And what I want you to see is that they're all related together. These are the four therapies. If you haven't been studying with us, we've spent 2 weeks in obedience, 2 weeks in simplicity, and 2 weeks in light therapy. And I want you to remember that all of these are connected. There are four, but they are like links in a chain. Now, if you want to have a good running engine at the end of an overhaul, you really, really are going to have to get the torque wrench out and torque down those connecting rod bolts, or there's going to be real trouble. And you can't skip that step. If you skip a step, then you're going to find out that you get to the end of your job, in this case, the end of your life, or the end of some episode, chapter of your life, and there's not going to be emotional wellness. And that's what we're talking about, emotional wellness. We talked about obedience therapy because, remember, a sermon about obedience is really a sermon about happiness. They're intimately connected and they cannot be disconnected. If you will be disobedient, you will be unhappy eventually, sooner or later, and probably not that much later. So obedience is very important. Romans 8:6, to be spiritually minded is peace. If you want peace, you have to be spiritually minded. If that matters to you, if you want peace, calm, tranquility in your emotions, then you have to be a spiritual person. And we're talking about obedience. We're saying when we are walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit, we may experience the fruit of God's Spirit, which is love and joy and peace, the antithesis of anger, depression, and anxiety. So we can have love and joy and peace if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're obedient. If you won't be obedient, you can't have that. You can't skip the step. Say, well, yes, that's what I want. You know what it says there? Love, joy, and peace. That's what I want. All right, well, if you want that, you cannot skip the step of obedience and walking in the Spirit, being led of God, led of God's Spirit. You can't skip that. If you do, you're not going to have that happy outcome. Isaiah 48:22, there's no peace for the wicked. You want tranquility? There is no tranquility for wicked people. I mean, you can have it for a moment. Remember that there's joy in disobedience and there's joy in obedience. The question is, which joy lasts longer and which joy has regret attached to it? Can you tell the difference? There's joy in disobedience, but how long will it last and how much regret will it bring? And so there's no peace for the wicked, no peace for the wicked. And lastly, in Psalm 38:3, there's no rest in my bones. Why? Because of my sin. I have no rest. I don't feel good emotionally well because of my sin. That's obedience therapy. We talked about simplicity therapy. How simple? 1 Timothy 2:2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Doesn't that sound good? I just want to have a quiet and peaceable life. That's simplicity. We talked about simplicity of your schedule. Oh, life doesn't have to be a rat race. Nobody said you have to make it a rat race. Simplicity of schedule, simplicity of finances. You don't have to make that other purchase and then run yourself ragged trying to pay it off. You could live a simple life, simplicity. a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's simplicity therapy. We talked about light therapy, and by that we're talking about flooding your life with light. Think on these things, not those things. And so we gave you the Philippians 4:8 passage many times. Whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, think on those things. Flood your mind with those things. Do not rehearse over and over again your grievances, your complaints. Do not rehearse in your mind over and over again what this guy did to you that was bad. Do not do that. You fill your mind with things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. And we spent 2 weeks talking about that. In the future, we're going to talk about gratitude therapy, and that again is going to come from Philippians 4. You're going to see there that we are going to do all these things with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is really important to emotional wellness. Well, we haven't talked about that very much in this series yet, but we'll come back to it. What you're seeing is an outline here, and I want you to show then how these dots connect. We're going to connect the dots. You see, obedience is everything. You know, if we tip this chart vertically, obedience would be on the top. It's the umbrella. If you're not going to be obedient, you can't have peace. There's no peace for the wicked. So everything is about obedience in the Christian life. And then a sub-point to obedience is what you think about. That's our light therapy. Think on these things, not those things. And we mean think on things that are lovely and true. If you're having thoughts, ask yourself, is that true? Is that honest? Whatever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, ask yourself, is that honest? You know, this guy probably has it out for me. Is that honest? If it's honest, you still have the other test, right? Is it lovely? Is that a lovely thought? Oh, great. You know, the United States is going to the dogs. The United States is going to seed. The whole thing's down the drain. Is that a lovely thought? Now, why would you rehearse that over and over and over in your mind? Here's what you need to rehearse over and over in your mind. God sits on the throne. Nothing that happens in the United States happens without his permission, without his sovereign control. And you need to rehearse that a lot these days. And so that's called light therapy. Is that honest that God is in control? Yes, it is. Is it lovely? Yes, it is. There you go. That's where you think. That's where you meditate. That's where you set your mind over and over again. You think on those things. All right, but all of that is under obedience, and so much is under what you think about. If we were going to add another subpoint under obedience, we could have said things you think about and things you do. But that would be a different series. So we're talking about things you think about. Now, of all the things you think about, here are two very, very special things that you better think about. One, we're calling simplicity, simplicity therapy. If you want to be emotionally well, then you have to have this mindset of being quiet and peaceable. And you're going to make your schedule as much as humanly possible, quiet and peaceable. You make your schedule that. And you make your finances that. We are not materialistic. We weren't brought up in the Christian faith so that we could consume more material things. The idea is not to purchase and purchase and purchase until we run ourselves ragged. You need to think about these things. Are you covetous with your money? If we're talking about schedule, are you driven to always race off to the next thing because you're trying to impress somebody? You need to tone it way down. You need to be humble, humble in lifestyle, humble in social strata. You need to be humble. That's simplicity. And we talked about gratitude therapy just a minute ago in passing. We'll talk about that more in the future, but learning to be thankful in all things. So light therapy. What are we supposed to think about? Well, two really good things, simplicity and gratitude. We could have added others. We could have talked about how to think about your neighbor in ways that are honest and lovely. We could have talked about how to think of your suffering in ways that are honest and lovely. So there are many things we could have put under there. But two very important things here is to think about simplicity and gratitude. All right, so we're connecting some dots. This makes a loop, you understand. These lessons are all tied together. The only way we could possibly see this in one sitting is if, you know, you're willing to sit here and listen to me blab for 10 or 12 hours. You could see it all in 1 week. But nobody has time for that. What I'm trying to show you today is that this is all interconnected. This is an emotional feedback loop. And if we start at the 11 o'clock position there on the subject of obedience, what you'll see is you have your first or new meditations on true and lovely things. This is why you became a Christian in the first place. One day somebody told you the gospel and it finally occurred to you that that's really true and that's lovely and I'm going to respond to it. I'm going to become a Christian. Well, that doesn't just happen once in the Christian life. That happens incessantly. Someday somebody tells you something about how to handle Christian finances and that's new to you. It's a new kind of light therapy. They're telling you something that's true, something that's honest, and something that's loving. You think, oh, okay, well, I'm going to start using money that way. And you obey. So in the 11 o'clock position, you hear something that's honest and lovely. And then when you move over to the 1 o'clock position, you are going to determine to obey even if your emotions are reluctant. Like, oh, no, I'm supposed to be living a simple lifestyle. Oh, no. I'm reluctant to do that, but I'm going to obey. We call that repentance. So you hear it and you repent. That's your light therapy, infusion of light, and then obedience. And then if you obey, what you're going to find down there in the 4 o'clock position, you're going to find that you're now able to think more clearly about a lot of things. You have more light coming into your life as you meditate on things that are further honest and lovely things. And then what's going to happen if you come all the way around to the 8 o'clock position, then you're going to see now you are experiencing feelings of warmth and gratitude. That's emotional health. That's what we've been talking about. And so what we're making is a feedback loop. And once you start to experience, you know, I thought it was really going to be terrible to rearrange my life to suit God. But now I'm finding that this is really quite pleasant, this relationship I have with God. And now I have these warm feelings of joy and gratitude. I love this. And you feedback loop over and over again in this cycle. Now, what happens in obedience therapy if we hear things that are honest and lovely, and then when we get to the 1 o'clock position, we bail out? Now, I'm not going to do that. That's absurd. The Lord is asking me to do something I don't want to do. Well, now the loop is broken because you won't obey the Lord. You heard something that was honest and lovely and you said, no, I will not. I'm not doing that. That is too radical. I'm not doing that. I will not be led of the Spirit. And since you said, I will not be led of the Spirit, then you also have to finish the implications of that and realize, well, it is only the person who's led of the Spirit who then gets to experience the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. So since you would not be led of the Spirit, then you won't be surprised, right, if you never get to the 8 o'clock position again, experiencing feelings of joy and gratitude and warmth because you bailed. You did not tighten to the appropriate torque specs, the connecting rod bolts, and you are not going to get a happy conclusion to your story. It's for people who obey. You see, can't bail out. All of this is connected. All right, let's do it again. Our verses, when you look at those verses, does it strike you that if you decide to be wicked, you'll have peace anyway? I'm not going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, but I sure hope that I experience love, joy, and peace from Him. That's not how this works. I'm not going to do my homework, but I sure hope that I graduate. That's not how this works. You have to obey. These verses are not giving you the impression that your battery is strong. You know, it's really funny. I always plan on this, and I always bring paper notes with me, but because everything is weird today, I didn't bring paper notes, so if it goes off, I really don't know what to say. Let's get out of this window. Was that plugged in right, hon, or was it loose? I'm going to check this, too, because sometimes that comes. Oh, this could be the problem. There we go. You see, if you don't connect the dots or the cord, that's such a nice lesson. Randy Alcorn in his book, Purity Principle, I always love this story. It's like, yes, yes, yes. He says, a man active in ministry resigned from ministry because of homosexual activities. And I asked him, what could have been said to you that might have prevented this? After a moment's thought, he replied, if someone could have helped me envision the tragedy it would bring to my ministry and the disgrace it would bring to Christ's name, I might never have done it. I love that. If somebody could have helped me envision it, you know what? That's why the Bible was written. Now, you have a big book, you know, an inch and a half thick. And the whole purpose of that was to help you envision what's going to happen if you sin. And to put it as succinctly as possible, there is no peace for the wicked. There. The Bible has helped you envision it. Nobody can help you beyond that. You're hearing things that are honest and lovely. If you'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you'll have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace. Question, what happens if I don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? You already know. The chain is broken. It can't work. We can do this with simplicity. We have our first thoughts there in the 10 o'clock position. We have our first thoughts about what it would be like to live modestly. And then we come to the 2 o'clock position there. And we have a determination to obey even if we are emotionally reluctant. It's like, okay, we're supposed to live a life that is free from materialism and covetousness. Whoa, does that mean I can't buy 4 pairs of shoes every month? I mean, that seems absurd. Everybody needs 4 pairs of shoes every month. But at thy word, Lord, if that's not a good idea, I'm going to quit buying 4 pairs of shoes every month. Now, that may seem difficult. If it does, and you're brave, and you listen to the thing that is honest, you do not need 4 new pairs of shoes every month. That is honest. That is honest. And it's lovely. It's lovely because you're not going to be stressed out from buying 4 pairs of shoes every month. All right? You say, but that's hard. Like, yeah, yeah. But look what happens if you obey that. If you obey that, then you come to the 4 o'clock position on our clock, and we're going to further meditate on things that are lovely and honest. Like, you know, we did okay without 4 pairs of shoes this month. And then you finish it. And at the 8 o'clock position, you have feelings, warm feelings of joy and gratitude. I'm learning to live without that stuff. You know, I really wanted to buy another widget, but it occurred to me, I have a whole drawer full of widgets I don't even use. I'm not going to buy any more widgets. And then all of a sudden, hey, these bills are getting a lot easier to pay here lately since I quit buying widgets. And you're scaling it down. The problem is to say, you can't ask me to quit racing to the top, racing to get ahead. It's a race, and I want to win, and I'm competitive. I'm a type A guy, and I'm going to win. I'm going to come to the top. I not only will keep up with the Joneses, I will pass many, many of the Joneses. I am a competitor. Don't ask me to quit racing. The Lord says, the whole goal is that you live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You don't have to race to the top. Stop it. And you might say, I can't. I'm not going to stop racing to the top. I can't. I hear what the Bible's saying. I won't. You won't? Well, if you won't be led of the Spirit, then I suppose you can't expect to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. So you broke the chain, and now when you get to the 8 o'clock position, you'll realize, uh-oh, it's not happening for me. Because when the Bible said, be humble in social strata, don't require to be at the top. Be humble in social strata. Be modest with your material goods. No, I'm not doing that. Okay, well, then you don't get some of the wonderful things that come from the fruit of the Spirit. And this simplicity therapy, remember, it is Scripture. It's not like we just made this up. It is Scripture. Here is Dave Ramsey talking about what happened when he decided not to quit racing to the top when he was a younger man. I remember standing there pumping gas into my Jaguar. I kept lifting my eyes just enough to see inside the little attendant station, praying that the guy inside didn't call to authorize the gold card I just flipped onto his counter. If he makes the call, I'm in trouble, I thought. This is ridiculous. Only in America can I stand here flat broke while pumping gas into a Jaguar. We were so broke that our electricity was cut off for 2 days. I kept the Jaguar by refinancing it. I even went so far as to get a good friend to co-sign a loan so I could keep this image car. I was practically shaking, and it wasn't because of the temperature. I was tired and frustrated. I was scared to death. I will not quit racing to the top. I will not. I hear what you're saying about covetousness and materialism and being modest in social strata. I won't. I'm going to race to the top. I'm going to keep up with the Joneses. I'm going to pass up a bunch of Joneses. I'm a competitor and I'll never quit. Okay. Well, then you can't have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. See, all of that still is obedience. We're being obedient in the area of simplicity in this case. We're thinking on these things that are honest. I don't really need a Jaguar. It's not smart to ask a nice person to co-sign for my Jaguar. It's not honest of me to pretend I'm making this amount of money when I'm really making this amount of money. It's not honest. It's not the real me. And it's also not lovely. It's not lovely to stand out there pumping gas, hoping that guy doesn't check on your charge card to see if it's really legit. That's not lovely. That's a terrible way to live. And that's what happens with simplicity. Gratitude, which we haven't talked much about, and we'll talk more about it in the future. But gratitude therapy, you know, there are a lot of good things to think about, but especially I want you to think about simplicity and gratitude. These are so important to your emotional wellness. So we have the first idea there in the 10 or 11 o'clock position about hearing that we should be thankful in all things. You know, that is what you call an honest thought and a lovely thought. You think, whoa, you know, that's heavy. And you come across to the 2 o'clock position and you determine to obey, even if you're emotionally reluctant to obey. Like, okay, obedience, light therapy, this is true, this is honest, and this is lovely. Okay, so I am going to thank the Lord for everything that's going on in my life that I am reluctant to do. That sounds kind of crazy. If I wake up in the morning and I have some sort of back pain, then I'm going to thank the Lord for my back pain. I'm going to thank the Lord for everything because that's what I'm supposed to do in Scripture. Wow, that's heavy. But okay, I'll obey. And then what's going to happen is if you obey that, you're going to find upon further reflection on things that are honest and lovely that this is a better way to live. And when it's all done, you come across to the 8 o'clock position or so, and you're going to find that your feelings have changed. Now you are experiencing warm feelings of joy and gratitude. Like, ha, who would ever think that by obeying the Scripture, thanking God for everything, and working through it, I would have these feelings of emotional wellness. And what happens if we bail? I actually hear that once upon a time there was a man who left our church pretty disillusioned and never really got interested in church again because he heard that you're supposed to thank the Lord for everything. And he said, that's absurd. And he bailed. How interesting. Well, if you bail, then I'm not doing that. I am not going to thank God for this. I will not. I'm not going to thank God for this. That's stupid. I wouldn't do it. All right. Well, suit yourself. It's your choice. But if you do that, you've broken the link, right? And because of that, you cannot work through and say, hey, that was really wise. And you can't come to the 8 o'clock position where you are experiencing these warm feelings of joy and gratitude because it's such a great lifestyle. You haven't been led of the Spirit, so you don't get to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. You bailed out on this command. Think on these things. And if you won't bail out, you're going to do so much better. Remember, it is Scripture. In everything, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In everything. And there's a lot more to it than that, which we'll look at in the future. Probably one of the greatest practical theologians on the subject of suffering is Johnny Erickson Tada. And you know her story. She has quadriplegia in a wheelchair. She can't feed herself. She can't take care of her own bathroom needs. She is absolutely dependent on other people and has been since she was 17 years old. Now, you know, she's older than I am. She must be about 60 now. And her life has been really, really hard. Now, notice what she says about gratitude therapy. She's on the Larry King Show, by the way, and he asked her the question about her new book, which is The God I Love, New Meaning 2010. She said, some people might look at this wheelchair and think that I would have titled the book The God I Hate instead of The God I Love. But I want to explain to people that when you go through the toughest of times, it, a wheelchair, can be your passport to joy and to peace in such a way I would never have dreamed possible when I was on my feet. I would really rather be in this chair knowing him than on my feet without him. And I think the last line in the book sums it up. There are more important things in life than walking. Like, wow. She's talking about joy and peace in quadriplegia. And the Lord says, be thankful for everything. Wow. She goes on in the same interview about what it'd be like to go to heaven. And she says, if I could, I would take it, the wheelchair. I would take the wheelchair with me, and I'd be standing next to my Savior Jesus Christ, and I would say, Lord, do you see this wheelchair? Well, before you send it to hell, I want to tell you something about it. You were right when you said in this world we would have trouble. And there's a lot of trouble being a quadriplegic. But you know what? The weaker I was in that thing, the harder I leaned on you, and the harder I leaned on you, the stronger I discovered you to be. Here it is. Thank you for the bruising of a blessing it was, this severe mercy. Thank you. Say, I will not thank the Lord for quadriplegia. How stupid do you think I am? I will not. I will not. You won't? Well, if you won't thank the Lord for that, you've broken the chain. And you can't come around to the 8 o'clock position anymore and have a sense of warm feelings, of joy and gratitude over what the Lord is doing in your life. So you see, it's obedience connected with thinking on things that are honest and lovely, connected with sometimes simplicity and sometimes gratitude, and they're all connected together. Oh, one subject touches the other subject, it becomes a cycle, a feedback loop. And so it is not incidental or optional for you to look at the four therapies in the New Testament and decide whether it's a go or a no with you. It's not incidental or optional. This is your life. And I hope that you'll be obedient, that you will think on these things, not those things, that you will be simple, drop out of the race to the top, the race to get ahead, that you will be grateful no matter what the Lord brings in your life. It's all one personality, one lifestyle. And if you will do this, this is how a person becomes emotionally well. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Before we dismiss the service, if there's a person here who's never yet trusted Jesus as Savior, can I talk to you, especially for just a moment? This is honest and this is lovely that Jesus died on the cross to wash away your sins. That's the way things are. This is honest and lovely that Jesus rose from death after 3 days. That's true. This is honest and lovely that he is today offering the free gift of everlasting life. Now, if you trust him for that free gift, if you were to call upon him because you trust him, the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'd like to give you a chance to do that before we go home today. And if you've never called on Jesus for his free gift of everlasting life, to go to heaven forever, to have your sins forgiven forever, I'd like to lead you in this prayer. And if this is the way you feel about it, you could pray right along with me in your own heart. Will you do that? Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross to wash away my sins. I believe that. I believe that you rose from death after 3 days. And I believe that you're offering me the free gift of everlasting life to be with you as your own child, as your own loved one, in heaven forever, forgiven. And today I'm calling on you for that free gift because I do believe. And I know according to your promise that no one who calls on you like this will ever be cast out. So I thank you today for making me part of your family.